Chapter 33. A Message from the Dark.
"Have you found it?" Rand asked, as he followed Huron down a cramped flight of stairs.
The kitchens lay on the lower levels, and the servants who had come attending the guests had all been sent there.
"Or is Matt really hurt?"
"Oh, Matt's fine, Lord Rand,"
the sniffer frowned.
"At least, he sounds all right, and he grumbles like a hale man. I didn't mean to worry you, but I needed a reason for you to come below."
"I found the trail easy enough. The men who set fire to the inn all entered a walled garden behind the manor. Trollocs joined them, went into the garden with them. Sometime yesterday, I think. Maybe even night before last."
He hesitated.
"Lord Rand, they didn't come out again. They must still be in there."
At the foot of the stairs, the sounds of the servants enjoying themselves drifted down the hall, laughter and singing. Someone had a bittern, strumming a raucous tune to clapping and the thump of dancing. There was no worked plaster or fine tapestries here, only bare stone and plain wood. Light in the halls came from rush torches, smoking the ceiling and spread far enough apart that the light faded between them.
"I'm glad you are talking to me naturally again," Rand said. "The way you have been bowing and scraping, I was beginning to think you were more Kyrianen than the Kyrianen."
Huron's face colored.
"Well, as to that,"
he glanced down the hall toward the noise and looked as if he wanted to spit.
"They all pretend to be so proper, but, Lord Rand, every one of them says he's loyal to his master or mistress, but they all hint they're willing to sell what they know or have heard. And when they have a few drinks in them, they'll tell you, all whispering in your ear, things about the lords and ladies they serve that'd make your hair stand on end. I know they're Kyrianen, but I never heard of such goings-on."
"We will be out of here soon, Huron." Rand hoped it was true.
"Where is this garden?"
Huron turned down a side hall, leading toward the back of the manor.
"Did you bring Ingtar and the others down already?"
The sniffer shook his head.
"Lord Ingtar had let himself be cornered by 6 or 7 of those who call themselves ladies. I couldn't get close enough to speak to him. And Varin Sedai was with Barthanas. She gave me such a look when I came near, I never even tried to tell her."
They rounded another corner just then, and there were Loyal and Matt, the ogre standing a little stooped for the lower ceiling. Loyal's grin almost split his face.
"There you are, Rand. I was never so glad to get away from anyone as from those people upstairs. They kept asking me if the ogre were coming back, and if Galdrian had agreed to pay what was owed. It seems the reason all the ogre stonemasons left is because Galdrian stopped paying them, except with promises. I kept telling them I didn't know anything about it, but half of them seemed to think that I was lying, and the other half that I was hinting at something."
"We'll be out of here soon," Rand assured him. "Matt, are you all right?"
His friend's face looked more hollow-cheeked than he remembered, even back at the inn, and his cheekbones more prominent.
"I feel fine," Matt said grumpily, "but I certainly didn't have any trouble leaving the other servants. The ones who weren't asking if you starved me thought I was sick and didn't want to come too close."
"Have you sensed the dagger?" Rand asked. Matt shook his head glumly.
"The only thing I've sensed is that somebody's watching me most of the time. These people are as bad as fades for sneaking around. Burn me, I nearly jumped out of my skin when Huron told me he'd located the Dark Friend's trail. Rand, I can't feel it at all, and I've been through this bloody building from rafters to basement."
"That does not mean it isn't here, Matt. I put it in the chest with the horn, remember? Maybe that keeps you from feeling it. I don't think Fane knows how to open it, else he'd not have gone to the trouble of carrying the weight when he fled Faldara. Even that much gold isn't important beside the Horn of Valir. When we find the horn, we will find the dagger. You'll see.
As long as I don't have to pretend to be your servant anymore," Matt muttered. "As long as you don't go mad and—"
He let the words die with a twist of his mouth.
"Rand is not mad, Matt,"
Loyal said.
"The Kyrianen would never have let him in here if he were not a lord. They are the ones who are mad."
"I'm not mad," Rand said harshly. "Not yet.
Huron, show me this garden."
"This way, Lord Rand."
They went out into the night by a small door that Rand had to duck to get through. Loyal was forced to bend over and hunch his shoulders. There was enough light in yellow pools from the windows above for Rand to make out brick walks between square flower beds. The shadows of stables and other outbuildings bulked in the darkness to either side. Occasional fragments of music drifted out, from the servants below or from those entertaining their masters above. Huron led them along the walks until even the dim glow failed, and they made their way by moonlight alone, their boots crunching softly on the brick. Bushes that would have been bright with flowers by daylight now made strange humps in the dark. Rand fingered his sword and did not let his eyes stay on any one spot too long. 100 Trollocs could be hiding around them unseen. He knew Huron would have smelled Trollocs if they were there, but that did not help a great deal. If Barthanas was a dark friend, then at least some of his servants and guards had to be too, and Huron could not always smell a dark friend. Dark friends leaping out of the night would not be much better than Trollocs.
"There, Lord Rand," Huron whispered, pointing.
Ahead, stone walls not much higher than Loyal's head enclosed a square, perhaps 50 paces on a side. Rand could not be sure in the shadows, but it looked as if the gardens stretched on beyond the walls. He wondered why Barthanas had built a walled enclosure in the middle of his garden. No roof showed above the wall. Why would they go in there and stay? Loyal bent to put his mouth close to Rand's ear.
"I told you this was all in Ogier Grove once. Rand, the waygate is within that wall. I can feel it."
Rand heard Matt sigh despairingly.
"We can't give up, Matt," he said. "I'm not giving up. I just have enough brains not to want to travel the ways again."
"We may have to," Rand told him.
"Go find Ingtar and Varen. Get them alone somehow, I don't care how, and tell them I think Fane has taken the horn through a waygate. Just don't let anyone else hear. And remember to limp. You are supposed to have had a fall."
It was a wonder to him that even Fane would risk the ways, but it seemed the only answer.
They wouldn't spend a day and a night just sitting in there without a roof over their heads.
Matt swept a low bow, and his voice was heavy with sarcasm.
"At once, my lord, as my lord wishes. Shall I carry your banner, my lord?"
He started back for the manor, his grumbles fading away.
"Now I have to limp. Next it'll be a broken neck, or..."
"He's just worried about the dagger, Rand," Loyal said.
"I know," Rand said. "But how long before he tells somebody what I am, not even meaning to?"
He could not believe Matt would betray him on purpose. There was that much of their friendship left, at least.
"Loyal, boost me up where I can see over the wall."
"Rand, if the dark friends are still..."
"They aren't. Boost me up, Loyal."
The three of them moved close to the wall, and Loyal made a stirrup with his hands for Rand's foot. The Ogier straightened easily with the weight, lifting Rand's head just high enough to see over the top of the wall. The thin, waning moon gave little light, and most of the area was in shadow, but there did not seem to be any flowers or shrubs inside the walled square. Only a lone bench of pale marble, placed as if one man might sit on it, to stare at what stood in the middle of the space like a huge upright stone slab. Rand caught the top of the wall and pulled himself up. Loyal gave a low hist and grabbed at his foot, but he jerked free and rolled over the wall, dropping inside. There was close-cropped grass under his feet. He thought vaguely that Barthanas must let sheep in, at least. Staring at the shadowed stone slab, the waygate, he was startled to hear boots thump to the ground beside him. Huron climbed to his feet, dusting himself off.
"You should be careful doing that, Lord Rand. Could be anybody hiding in here, or anything."
He peered into the darkness within the walls, feeling at his belt as if for the short sword and swordbreaker he had had to leave at the inn. Servants did not go armed in Cairhien.
"Jump in a hole without looking, and there'll be a snake in it every time."
"You would smell them," Rand said.
"Maybe."
The sniffer inhaled deeply.
"But I can only smell what they've done, not what they intend."
There was a scraping sound from over Rand's head, and then Loyal was letting himself down from the wall. The Ogier did not even have to straighten his arms completely before his boots touched the ground.
"Rash,"
he muttered.
"You humans are always so rash and hasty. And now you have me doing it. Elder Haman would speak to me severely, and my mother.
The darkness hid his face, but Rand was sure his ears were twitching vigorously.
Rand, if you don't start being a little careful, you are going to get me in trouble.
Rand walked to the waygate, walked all the way around it. Even close up, it looked like nothing more than a thick square of stone, taller than he was. The back was smooth and cool to the touch. He only brushed his hand against it quickly, but the front had been carved by an artist's hands. Vines, leaves, and flowers covered it, each so finely done that in the dim moonlight they seemed almost real. He felt the ground in front of it. The grass had been scraped partly away in two arcs, such as those gates would make an opening.
"Is that a way gate?"
Huron asked uncertainly.
"I've heard tell of them, of course, but..."
He sniffed the air.
"The trail goes right to it and stops, Lord Rand. How are we going to follow them now? I've heard if you go through a waygate, you come out mad, if you come out at all."
"It can be done, Huron. I've done it, and Loyal and Matt and Perrin." Rand never took his eyes from the tangles of leaves on the stone. There was one unlike any other carved there, he knew. The trefoil leaf of fabled Avendisora, the tree of life. He put his hand on it.
"I'll bet you can smell the trail along the ways. We can follow anywhere they can run."
It would not hurt to prove to himself that he could make himself step through a waygate.
"I'll prove it to you."
He heard Huron groan. The leaf was worked in the stone just as the others were, but it came away in his hand. Loyal groaned too. In an instant, the illusion of living plants seemed suddenly real. Stone leaves appeared to stir with a breeze. Flowers appeared to have color even in the dark. Down the center of the mass, a line appeared, and the two halves of the slab swung slowly toward Rand. He stepped back to let them open. He did not find himself looking at the other side of the walled square, but neither did he see the dull silver reflection he remembered. The space between the opening gates was a black so dark it seemed to make the night around it lighter. The pitch blackness oozed out between the still-moving gates. Rand leaped back with a shout, dropping the Avendisora leaf in his haste, and Loyal cried out,
"Machin Shin, the black wind!"
The sound of wind filled their ears. The grass stirred in ripples toward the walls, and dirt swirled up, sucked into the air. And in the wind, 1,000 insane voices seemed to cry, 10,000, overlapping, drowning each other. Rand could make out some of them, though he tried not to.
"Blood so sweet to drink the blood that drips, drips, drops so red. Pretty eyes, fine eyes, I have no eyes. Pluck the eyes from out of your head, grind your bones, split your bones inside your flesh, suck your marrow while you scream, 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 singing screams, sing your screams."
And worst of all, a whispering thread through all the rest,
"Althor, Althor, Althor."
Rand found the void around him and embraced it, never minding the tantalizing, sickening glow of Sidon just out of his sight. Greatest of all the dangers along the ways was the black wind that took the souls of those it killed and drove mad those it let live. But Machin Shin was a part of the ways. It could not leave them. Only it was flowing into the night, and the black wind called his name. The waygate was not yet fully open. If they could only put the Avendisora leaf back. He saw Loyal scrambling on his hands and knees, fumbling and searching the grass in the darkness. Sidon filled him. He felt as if his bones were vibrating, felt the red-hot, ice-cold flow of the one power, felt truly alive as he never was without it, felt the oil-slick taint.
"No."
And silently he screamed back at himself from beyond the emptiness.
"It's coming for you. It'll kill all of us."
He hurled it all at the black bulge, standing out a full span from the waygate now. He did not know what it was that he hurled or how, but in the heart of that darkness bloomed a coruscating fountain of light. The black wind shrieked, 10,000 wordless howls of agony. Slowly, giving way inch by reluctant inch, the bulge lessened. Slowly the oozing reversed, back into the still-open waygate. The power raced through Rand in a torrent. He could feel the link between himself and Sidon, like a river in flood. between himself and the pure fire blazing in the heart of the black wind, a raging cataract. The heat inside him went to white heat and beyond, to a shimmer that would have melted stone and vaporized steel and made the air burst into flame. The cold grew till the breath in his lungs should have frozen solid and hard as metal. He could feel it overwhelming him, feel life eroding like a soft clay riverbank, feel what was him wearing away.
Can't stop. If it gets out, have to kill it. I cannot stop.
Desperately, he clung to fragments of himself. The one power roared through him. He rode it like a chip of wood in rapids. The void began to melt and flow. The emptiness steamed with freezing cold. The motion of the waygate halted and reversed. Rand stared, sure in the dim thoughts floating outside the void, that he was only seeing what he wanted to see. The gates drifted closer together, pushing back much in shin, as if the black wind had solid substance. The inferno still roared in its breast. With a vague, distant wondering, Rand saw Loyal, still on hands and knees, backing away from the closing gates. The gap narrowed, vanished. The leaves and vines merged into a solid wall and were stone. Rand felt the link between him and the fire snap, the flow of power through him cease. A moment more, and it would have swept him away completely. Shaking, he dropped to his knees. It was still there inside, Sidene. No longer flowing, but there in a pool. He was a pool of the one power. He trembled with it. He could smell the grass, the dirt beneath, the stone of the walls. Even in the darkness, he could see each blade of grass, separate and whole, all of them at once. He could feel each minute stirring of the air on his face. His tongue curdled with the taste of the taint. His stomach knotted and spasmed. Frantically, he clawed his way out of the void. Still on his knees, not moving, he fought free. And then all that was left was the fading foulness on his tongue, and the cramping in his stomach, and the memory.
So alive.
You saved us, Builder.
Yuren had his back pressed against the wall, and his voice was hoarse.
That thing, that was the black wind. It was worse than... Was it going to hurl that fire at us? Lord Rand, did it harm you? Did it touch you?
He came running as Rand got to his feet, helping him the last bit. Loyal was getting up too, dusting his hands and his knees.
We'll never follow Fane through that.
Rand touched Loyal's arm.
Thank you. You did save us.
You saved me, at least. It was killing me. Killing me, and it felt wonderful.
He swallowed. A faint trace of the taste still coated his mouth. I want something to drink.
I only found the leaf and put it back, Loyal said, shrugging. It seemed that if we could not get the waygate closed, it would kill us. I am afraid I'm not a very good hero, Rand. I was so afraid I could hardly think.
We were both afraid, Rand said. We may be a poor pair of heroes, but we are what there is. It's a good thing Ingtar is with us.
Lord Rand, Yuren said diffidently, could we leave now?
The sniffer made a fuss about Rand going over the wall first without knowing who was waiting outside, until Rand pointed out that he had the only weapon among them. Even then, Huron did not seem to like letting Loyal lift Rand to catch the top of the wall and pull himself over. Rand landed on his feet with a thud, listening and peering into the night. For a moment, he thought he saw something move, heard a boot scrape on the brick wall, but neither was repeated, and he dismissed it as nervousness. He thought that he had a right to be nervous. He turned to help Huron down.
Lord Rand,
the sniffer said, as soon as his feet were solidly on the ground.
How are we going to follow them now?
From what I've heard of those things, the whole lot of them could be halfway across the world by now, in any direction.
Varen will know a way.
Rand suddenly wanted to laugh. To find the horn and the dagger, if they could be found now, he had to go back to the Aes Sedai. They had let him loose, and now he had to go back.
I won't let Matt die without trying.
Loyal joined them, and they went back toward the manor, to be met at the small door by Matt, who opened it just as Rand reached for the handle.
Varen says you're not to do anything. If Huron's found where the horn is kept,
Then she says that's all we can do now. She says we'll leave as soon as you come back and make a plan. And I say, this is the last time I go running back and forth with messages. If you want to say something to somebody, you can talk to them yourself from now on. Matt peered past them into the darkness. Is the horn out there somewhere? In an outbuilding? Did you see the dagger? Rand turned him around and got him back inside. It isn't in an outbuilding, Matt. I hope Varen has a good idea of what to do now. I don't have any. Matt looked as if he wanted to ask questions, but he let himself be pushed along the dimly lit corridor. He even remembered to limp as they started upstairs. When Rand and the others re-entered the rooms filled with nobles, they received a number of looks. Rand wondered if they somehow knew something of what had happened outside, or if he should have sent Huron and Matt to the front hall to wait. But then he realized that looks were no different from what they had been before, curious and calculating, wondering what the Lord and the Ogier had been up to. Servants were invisible to these people. No one tried to approach them, since they were together. It seemed there were protocols to conspiracy in the great game. Anyone might try to listen to a private conversation, but they would not intrude on it. Varen and Ingtar were standing together, and thus also alone. Ingtar looked a little dazed. Varen gave Rand and the other three a brief glance, frowned at their expressions, and then resettled her shawl and started for the entry hall. As they reached it, Barthanas appeared as if someone had told him they were leaving.
You go so soon. Varen Sedai, can I not entreat you to stay longer?
Varen shook her head.
We must go, Lord Barthanas. I have not been in Kyrian in some years. I was glad of your invitation to young Rand. It has been interesting.
Then grace see you safely to your inn. The great tree, is it not? Perhaps you will favor me with your presence again. You would honor me, Varen Sedai, and you, Lord Rand, and you, Lord Ingtar, not to mention you, Loyal, son of Arendt, son of Holland.
His bow was a little deeper for the Aes Sedai than for the others, but still no more than a slight inclination. Varen nodded in acknowledgement.
Perhaps. The light illumine you, Lord Barthanas.
She turned for the doors. As Rand moved to follow the others, Barthanas caught his sleeve with two fingers, holding him back. Matt looked as if he might stay too, until Huron pulled him to join Varen and the rest.
You wade even deeper in the game than I thought, Barthanas said softly. When I heard your name, I could not believe it, yet you came, and you fit the description. And I was given a message for you. I think I will deliver it after all.
Rand had felt a prickling along his backbone as Barthanas spoke, but at the last he stared.
A message? From whom? Lady Selene?
A man. Not the sort for whom I would usually carry messages, but he has certain claims on me that I cannot ignore. He gave no name, but he was a Lugarder.
Ah, you know him.
I know him.
Thane left a message?
Rand looked around the wide hall. Matt and Varen and the others were waiting by the doors. Liveried servants stood stiffly along the walls, ready to leap at a command, yet appearing neither to hear nor see. The sounds of the gathering floated from deeper in the manor. It did not look like a place where dark friends might attack.
What message?
He says he will wait for you on Toman Head. He has what you seek, and if you want it, you must follow. If you refuse to follow him, he says he will hound your blood and your people, and those you love, until you will face him. It sounds mad, of course, a man like that saying he will hound a lord, and yet there was something about him. I think he is mad. He even denied you are a lord, as any eye can plainly see. But there is still something. What is it he carries with him, with Trollocs to guard it? What is it you seek?
Barthanas seemed shocked at the directness of his own questions.
The light illumine you, Lord Barthanas.
Rand managed a bow, but his legs wobbled as he joined Varen and the others.
He wants me to follow?
And he'll hurt Emmons Field,
Tam, if I don't?
He had no doubt Fane could do it, would do it.
At least Egwene is safe in the White Tower.
He had sickening images of Trollocs descending in hordes on Emmon's Field, of eyeless fades stalking Egwene.
But how can I follow him? How?
Then he was out in the night, mounting Red. Varen and Ingtar and the others were all already on their horses, and the escort of Shinarans was closing round them.
What did you find? Varen demanded. Where does he keep it?
Huron cleared his throat loudly, and Loyal shifted in his high saddle. The Aes Sedai peered at them.
Fane has taken the horn to Tommen Head through a waygate, Rand said dully. By this time, he's probably already waiting there for me.
We will speak of this later, Varen said, so firmly that no one spoke at all on the ride back to the city, to the great tree. Uno left them there, after a quiet word from Ingtar, taking the soldiers back to their inn in the foregate. Huron took one look at Varen's set face by the light of the common room, muttered something about ale, and scurried to a table in a corner alone. The Aes Sedai brushed aside the innkeeper's solicitous hopes that she had enjoyed herself, and silently led Rand and the rest to the private dining room. Perrin looked up from the travels of Jane Forestrider when they walked in, and frowned when he saw their faces.
It didn't go well, did it? He asked, closing the leather-bound book.
Lamps and beeswax candles around the room gave a good light. Mistress Teardra charged heavily, but she did not stint. Varen carefully folded her shawl and laid it across the back of a chair.
Tell me again, the Dark Friends took the horn through a waygate? At Barthanas's manor?
The ground under the manor used to be an Ogier grove, Loyal explained. When we built...
His voice trailed off, and his ears wilted under her look. Huron followed them right to it. Rand wearily threw himself into a chair.
I have to follow more than ever now, but how?
I opened it to show him he could still follow the trail, wherever they went, and the black wind was there. It tried to reach us, but Loyal managed to close the gates before it could come all the way out. He colored a little at that, but Loyal had closed the gates, and for all he knew, Machin Shin might have made it out without that.
It was standing guard.
The black wind,
Matt breathed, frozen halfway into a chair. Perrin was staring at Rand, too. So were Varen and Ingtar. Matt dropped into the chair with a thump.
You must be mistaken, Varen said at last. Machin Shin could not be used as a guard. No one can constrain the Black Wind to do anything.
It's a creature of the Dark One, Matt said numbly.
They're dark friends. Maybe they knew how to ask it for help or make it help. No one knows exactly what Machin Shin is, Varen said, unless perhaps it is the essence of madness and cruelty. It cannot be reasoned with, Matt, or bargained with, or talked to. It cannot even be forced, not by any Aes Sedai living today, and perhaps not by any who ever lived. Do you really think Padan Fane could do what 10 Aes Sedai could not?
Matt shook his head. There was an air of despair in the room, of hope and purpose lost. The goal they had sought had vanished, and even Varen's face wore a floundering expression.
I'd never have thought Fane had the courage for the ways.
Ingtar sounded almost mild, but suddenly he banged his fist against the wall.
I do not care how, or even if, Machin Shin works on Fane's behalf. They have taken the Horn of Valir into the ways, Aes Sedai. By now, they could be in the Blight, or halfway to Tyr, or Tanchico, or the other side of the Aiel Waste. The Horn is lost. I am lost.
His hands dropped to his sides and his shoulders slumped.
I am lost.
Fane is taking it to Tommen Head, Rand said, and was immediately the object of all eyes again. Varen studied him narrowly.
You said that before. How do you know?
He left a message with Barthanas, Rand said.
A trick, Ingtar sneered. He'd not tell us where to follow.
I don't know what the rest of you are going to do, Rand said, but I am going to Tommen Head. I have to. I leave at first light.
But Rand, Loyal said, it will take us months to reach Tommen Head. What makes you think Fane will wait there for us?
He will wait. But how long before he decides I'm not coming? Why did he set that guard if he wants me to follow? Loyal, I mean to ride as hard as I can, and if I ride Red to death, I'll buy another horse or steal another, if I have to. Are you sure you want to come?
I've stayed with you this long, Rand. Why would I stop now?
Loyal pulled out his pipe and pouch and began thumbing tobacco into the big bowl.
You see, I like you. I would like you even if you weren't Taviran. Maybe I like you despite it. You do seem to get me neck deep in hot water. In any case, I am going with you.
He sucked on the pipe stem to test the draw, then took a splinter from the stone jar on the mantel and thrust it into a candle flame for a light.
And I don't think you can really stop me.
Well, I'm going, Matt said. Fane still has that dagger, so I'm going. But all that servant business ended tonight.
Perrin sighed, an introspective look in his yellow eyes. I suppose I'll come along, too. After a moment, he grinned. Somebody has to keep Matt out of trouble.
Not even a clever trick, Ingtar muttered. Somehow, I'll get Barthanas alone, and I will learn the truth. I mean to have the Horn of Valyr, not chase Jack of the Wisps.
It may not be a trick, Varen said carefully, seeming to study the floor under her toes. There were certainly things left in the dungeons at Faldara, writings that indicated a connection between what happened that night and, she gave Rand a quick glance under lowered brows, Toman Head. I still do not understand them completely, but I believe we must go to Toman Head, and I believe we will find the horn there.
Even if they are going to Toman Head, Ingtar said. By the time we reach it, Fane or one of the other dark friends could have blown the horn 100 times, and the heroes returned from the grave will ride for the shadow.
Fane could have blown the horn 100 times since leaving Faldara, Varen told him, and I think he would have if he could open the chest. What we must worry about is that he might find someone who does know how to open it. We must follow him along the ways.
Perrin's head came up sharply, and Matt shifted in his chair. Loyal gave a low moan.
Even if we could somehow sneak past Barthanas's guards, Rand said, I think we'll find Machin Shin still there. We cannot use the ways.
How many of us could sneak onto Barthanas's grounds? Varen said dismissively.
There are other waygates. Steading Tsofu lies not far from the city, south and east. It is a young steading, rediscovered only perhaps 600 years ago. But the Ogier elders were still growing the ways then. Steading Tsofu will have a waygate. It is there, and we will ride at first light.
Loyal made a slightly louder sound, and Rand was not sure whether it referred to the waygate or the steading.
Ingtar still did not seem convinced, but Varen was as smooth and as implacable as snow sliding down a mountainside.
You will have your soldiers ready to ride, Ingtar. Send Huron to tell Uno before he goes to bed. I think we should all go to bed as soon as possible. These dark friends have gained at least a day on us already, and I mean to make up as much of it as I can tomorrow.
So firm was the plump Aes Sedai's manner that she was already herding Ingtar to the door before she finished speaking. Rand followed the others out, but at the door he stopped beside the Aes Sedai and watched Matt heading down the candlelit hall.
Why does he look like that? He asked her. I thought you healed him again, enough to give him some time anyway.
She waited until Matt and the others had turned up the stairs before speaking.
Apparently it did not work so well as we believed. The sickness takes an interesting course in him. His strength remains. He will keep that to the end, I think. But his body wastes away. Another few weeks at most, I would say. You see, there is reason for haste.
I do not need another spur, Aes Sedai, Rand said, making the title sound hard.
Matt, the horn, Fane's threat. Light Egwene. Burn me, I don't need another spur.
And what of you, Randalthor? Do you feel well? Do you fight it still, or have you yet surrendered to the wheel?
I ride with you to find the horn, he told her. Beyond that, there is nothing between me and any Aes Sedai. Do you understand me? Nothing.
She did not speak, and he walked away from her. But when he turned to take the stairs, she was still watching him, dark eyes sharp and considering.